Okay, so we have a very special week this week. And that is because on Thursday it's Lag BaOmer. So Wednesday night and Thursday is Lag BaOmer. I highly recommend the writings or the write-ups of Rav Elimelech Biderman. Rav Elimelech Biderman is a wonderfully warm, special Jew in Israel. He's the son of the Lel of the Rebbe. And he gives a shiur every Thursday that gets written up, translated into English and other languages. And he has a wonderful, wonderful series of essays on Lag BaOmer. I saw some of the ideas that he said is, why is there an idea to light a fire? He said, because Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he lived in such a dark time. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students. And the Gemara says they all died between Pesach and Shavuos. And, you know, normally, when there's that level of catastrophe, there would be despair. Just give up. Why keep on going? And yet, Rabbi Akiva did keep on going. He had five more students. And out of those extra five students, you get Rabbi Akiva, you get Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So Shimon Bar Yochai, he was the light after so much darkness. After so much darkness of so many students being lost, he continued, oh, thank you so much. He continued to illuminate and to teach and to inspire. So that's the big bonfire. The bonfire of Lag BaOmer is this idea of light within the darkness. Hasidim, they have tremendous beliefs in the power of prayer on Lag BaOmer. There's an idea that the Gemara says in Sota. The Gemara says, why didn't Hashem reveal where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried? The Torah says, "Lo noda ish kvuraso." No one knows where he's buried. So the Gemara says, because if we would know where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried, when the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed, Jews would run to Moshe Rabbeinu's grave, and we would daven that Hashem should restore the Beis HaMikdash. We would rouse Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe would go and ask Hashem to restore the Beis HaMikdash. And then Hashem would have to give the Beis HaMikdash back. Because that's the power of a tefillah with a tzaddik. That's why we can't know where the grave is. Because if we would know, and by praying there, we would invoke the merit of Moshe, we would get the Beis HaMikdash back. And Hashem didn't want to give us the Beis HaMikdash back. So if that's what the power is to pray at a tzaddik, when you pray at Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, it's amazing. It's the prayers with a tzaddik, on the day of the tzaddik, tremendous abilities in those prayers, tremendous abilities. A very big theme with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is, as I mentioned earlier downstairs, is that there's tremendous joy with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Oz v'cheva v'komo, where he is, there's tremendous strength and tremendous joy. There's a very frightening story that the Ari HaKadosh relates, that he once went to Meron, to the grave of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, with his student, Rav Avraham Alevi. And Rav Avraham Alevi was so connected to the loss of the Beis HaMikdash that he used to say the Nachim prayer every day. So even at the kever of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, he was praying for the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Nachim, God should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And the Ari says that Rabbi Shimon revealed himself to him and told him that, no, with me there's no place for sadness. And he said, because he was sad at my place, he'll be sad. And Rav Avraham Alevi passed away because he said Nachim at the kever of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. That's what the Zohar says. The Satmar Rebbe, he was very, very careful with all matters of halacha. He was extreme, in fact, one could say. But they say that he once came to Meron during the 9 days, and he had them play music and sing Bar Yochai. So they said to him, wait, the 9 days, it's not a time to sing. He said, no, here it's Oz V'cheder B'mkom. Here it's Hashem's place, there's strength, and there's joy in his place. With Rabbi Shimon, there's no sadness. In fact, Oz V'chevra B'mkomo equals 306, which is the same gematria as the word Meron. So Rav Wolfson said, what's pshat that Rabbi Shimon is a being of such joy? There's no room for sadness with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I remember when I was in yeshiva in Israel for the years, I was excited, Lag BaOmer, to go to Meron. So I remember taking the Eged bus all the way up to Meron from Yerushalayim. When I got there, there was this huge sign, Eged welcomes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I was like, well, you can't welcome Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he's not alive. But that's what it was. Eged welcomes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. This day is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's day. And it's an unbelievable carnival, as big as it was then, 26 years ago. Today it's huge. I think there must be 400,000 Jews that make their way to this one street town of Meron for this day, Lag BaOmer. They camp out. A lot of Sfaradim come, they put up tents, and they sleep there for like a week. And they bring sheep and goats, and they're shochtim, going from tent to tent, shechting the sheep, and they're grilling these fresh cuts of meat outside the tents. And this tremendous, tremendous celebration. It's a huge, huge celebration. And the kever itself is very emotional. People crying and davening, tremendous crush of people. It's really... it's quite a sight, it's really an experience. So what is it that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, you know, there's such joy that even though it's the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, happiness. What's going on? How could it be happiness when you think about the loss of the Beis HaMikdash? It's the 9 days. So the deeper answer is that as a matter of faith, we believe that from Hashem there's only good. As the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Mipi Elyon lo teitze hara'ot v'hatov. From the mouth of the one above will not come tragedy and good. There's only good. That's what we believe. Unfortunately, the way we experience life, we don't understand. And many times we have experiences that we can't see how it's good. We believe that it's good, but we don't feel that it's good. That's what the Gemara says in Psachim. The verse says, "V'haya bayom ahu." It'll be on that day. Yi Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Hashem will be one. His name will be one. So the Gemara asks, "Is he not one now?" Now also he's one. So the Gemara says, "No. Now, when you have good fortune, you say a blessing of thanks. Hatov hametziv, the one who does good, and he'll do even better. When we have misfortune, we say a blessing of acceptance. Baruch Dayan Emet, blessed is the true judge. But in the future world, there'll only be one blessing." Only Hatov HaMitziv, only the good who will do good, who will make it even better. So the ultimate world is a world of only Hatov HaMitziv, of only good. We, though, don't feel that ultimate world, but we believe that it's there. We believe that it's there, we just can't feel it. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he's the one who reveals the sod, he reveals the secrets. In the secrets, it is all good. We just can't see how it's good. But he reveals the secrets of how it's good. And so because he's someone who can reveal the secrets, if you're in his presence and you feel him, you feel that it's all good. You realize that everything is part of a plan. It's all for the good. It's all for the best. And on the contrary, it's something above nature, beyond our understanding. Normally, on your side is the time to be sad. It's the Gemara says in Nedarim that if you want to have an example of a day of fasting, it'll be the Yartzeit, the day that a person's father died. That's a day of fasting. That's normally. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Zohar says, no, it's not a day to be sad. It's a day to be happy, to rejoice. That he went to a higher level of goodness and a greater level in Shamayim. And so Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that's a very amazing thing. He's the person of goodness, and believing of that goodness and feeling that goodness. There's a very strange passage that Rav Wolfson always used to talk about, always likes to talk about. And that's from Karliner Rebbe. Rav Aaron Karliner, author of the book Beis Aaron, says, this is a quote, Kol mi sheyesh lo emunah b'Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, yesh lo chizuk b'Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Anyone who has belief in Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, gets strengthened from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Kishem Shashem is Baruch Hu Hashem Lakol, the same way God is God for all, Kach Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Rav Shimon ben Yochai lacha. Rav Shimon ben Yochai is Rav Shimon ben Yochai for all. Afilu lepchusim, even for the lowly people. So what does it mean that if you have belief in Rav Shimon ben Yochai, you have strength for Rav Shimon ben Yochai, Rav Shimon ben Yochai is for the lowly people? And if you think about it, if you go to Meron today, it's not only big tzaddikim. A lot of people there, a lot of them are very far from tzaddikim. I remember once I went with Rav Wolfson to Meron, and it was, I guess, an Israeli election. All the politicians were there, with their parties and their posters and their votes, and he was very uncomfortable. All these, vote collectors. It's Rav Shimon ben Yochai. All the stuff going on, this carnival atmosphere. So what's pshat? What's pshat that that's what happens with Rav Shimon ben Yochai? Everyone's connected to Rav Shimon ben Yochai. So the Kabbalists explain that the main day of Sfira is Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the Omer, the day of Rav Shimon ben Yochai. And the source for this, they say that this is the day of the sweetening of judgment. So, as we explained, we said that in this world, things come down and they can be very harsh. That's how we perceive them. But from a higher perspective, it's really for the good. For example, you can have all sorts of very, very difficult situations that people go through and they don't understand why they're going through these things. But then it might be revealed to them that it's really a tikkun, it's really to fix something, to accomplish some fixing, like sources say that Ramchal only lived to age 40. And sources say maybe Ramchal was the Gilgal of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said about himself that the first 40 years of his life, he was very opposed to Torah. He said, if I would have seen a Talmud Chacham, I would have bitten him, would have bitten the Talmud Chacham the way a donkey bites a person. So Gemara says, well, donkey, what's wrong with the dog? It's like Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva says, the dog is just biting for the meat. The donkey is biting to break the bones. So when I saw Talmud Chacham, I was so opposed. I was looking to bite the bones of the Talmud Chacham. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. And Rabbi Akiva, that's his first 40 years. Then, of course, he marries Rachel, and he becomes a Baal Tshuva, and he becomes very close to Hashem, and becomes very elevated, ultimately. Rabbi Akiva becomes very elevated. He's the father of Torah Shebaal Peh, one can argue. All the great teachers of Torah Shebaal Peh, Rabbi Meir, Shema Yochai, they're all students of Rabbi Akiva. So there are Kuvalim who suggest that Ramchal was the Gilgal of Rabbi Akiva. So since Rabbi Akiva said, if I would have found the Torah scholar, I would bite him and break his bones, his first 40 years, Ramchal only lived to be 40. And his whole life, unfortunately, he had terribly hard time from the Torah scholars. The Torah scholars opposed Ramchal in horrific ways, horrific ways. They chased him out of Italy, they bankrupted him, they made him run away even from Amsterdam. Ramchal. Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato was terribly, terribly pursued and persecuted, attacked, and they made it illegal for anyone to learn from him. And if students would be students of his, they would, ruin their lives. It was very, very difficult, Ramchal, very difficult. And he writes in his letters, he said, I was going crazy until I realized it's all part of Hashem's plan. Everything comes from Hashem, what he calls Hanhagas HaYichud HaElyon. There's a supervision, a level beyond my understanding, and it's all from God. So the Mekubalim, some say that Ramchal, he was the Gilgul of Rabbi Akiva. So this is the Tikkun of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, in his lifetime, had such greatness, but his first 40 years, he opposed the Torah scholars. So his Gilgul only had 40 years to fix what had to be fixed. And here the Torah scholars opposed him and gave him a hard time, even though he didn't deserve it. And that was the tikkun. So if a person would know the tikkun, then all these misfortunes would not be perceived as misfortunes, would be perceived as a bracha. So now he's fully perfect. Now he had from 40 to 120 of Rabbi Akiva, which is amazing. And now the first 40 are being fixed. And even the sins of the first 40 are being fixed. But we don't know that story. So when we experience misfortune, we just are frustrated, down about it, we don't realize that there's another story, a higher story. So to go to the higher level, that sweetens all the judgments. Then already, it's not a judgment, it's already perceived as a chesed, as a gift. So in Kabbalah, there's a system of meditating where you can change words. One of the ways is to take the word, and each letter in the word, look at the letter in front of it. So let's say the name of God for judgment is Elohim. Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud, Mem. Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud, Mem. That's God who judges. So above judgment would be the letters before that. So what letter is before Aleph? There is no letter before Aleph. So Aleph stays Aleph. What's the letter before Lamed? In the Aleph days, what's the letter before Lamed? Chaf. Chaf, so we have Chaf. What's the letter before Hey? Dalet. What's the letter before Yud? Tes. So we have Chaf, Dalet, Tes. Those are the letters before Lamed, Hey, Yud. But there's nothing before Aleph, because Aleph is Aleph. It's the first letter. So there is Aleph, and then you have Chaf, Dalet, Tes. The last letter is Mem Sofis. The letter before Mem Sofis is a Mem Psucha, an open Mem. So again, there's nothing before. So really, the letters before the letters of Elohim are Chaf Dalet Tes. Chaf Dalet Tes equals in Gematria 33. Chaf is 20, Dalet is 4, Tes is 9. So 9 plus 4 plus 20 is 33. So 33, Lag Ba'omer, this is the day of the letters before Lamed Hey. This is the day of the Hamtakas Adin, of the sweetening of the judgments. And that's the whole, that's the day of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The day of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the letters before Lamed Hey and Yud. So there's actually a pasuk. The pasuk says, Tzama Nafshi Lelokim. My soul is thirsty for Hashem, Lekel Chai, for the living God. Kel Chai in Gematria is 49. Kel is 31. Chai is 18. So Tzama Nafshi Elokim. My soul is thirsty for Kel Chai, 49. These are the days of Sfiras HaOmer. Right? This is the job now, Sfiras HaOmer. Tzama Nafshi Elokim, Lekel Chai. What's the rest of the pasuk? Masai Avo Ve'erai. When can I come and I will see Pnei Elokim? Pnei is the word lifnei, before Elokim. When will I come and see what's before Elokim? When will I come and see Chaf Dalet Tes? When will I get to see the Lag Ba'omer, that which is before Elokim, the sweetening of the judgments, namely what's called the name Akadet, the name of Chaf Dalet Tes, the name of the letters before Elohim. So this is really the big job of Sfiras HaOmer, is to try to get to Lag Ba'Omer. The job of Lag Ba'Omer is to say that with all the difficulties that a person might have in life, really there's a hidden plan, and we don't know the hidden plan, and that hidden plan is a bracha from Hashem. That's the Hamtakas Hadinim, the sweetening of the judgments. There's a higher plan, there's a higher understanding. That's Pnei Elokim, that which is Lifnei Elokim. So my Rebbe Rav Wolfson connected all of this to the end of last week's parsha. At the end of last week's parsha, we have the story of the Mekalel. Mekalel, the Torah says, Vayetze ben Isha Yisrael. This man who was the son of a Jewish mother, apparently son of an Egyptian father, went out, Vayekalel, and he curses. So what inspired him to curse? So the Midrash has two opinions. One opinion is, he was upset about the law of Lechem HaPanim. Lechem HaPanim is that bread is baked on Thursday, matzahs really. The matzahs are put on the table, and then they're taken off 9 days later, next Shabbos. So the matzah stays fresh for an entire week, and that he was upset about. How could you have bread that's chan ki yom hilakcho, that's still hot, like it went into the oven? He was making fun of that. That's one idea. And the other idea of the Medrash is that he was upset because he wanted to put up his tent together with the Bnei Dan. He said, since my mother, Shlomis Bas Divri, is from Dan, so I should be able to live with the Bnei Dan. And they said to him, no, sorry. The Mishpachosim Levesavosam, the Pasuk says that families are based on the father. You can't be with the Bnei Dan. You have to live outside of the camp. And he got upset and he went out and he started cursing the name of Hashem. So what's going on here that he gets so upset about the Lechem HaPanim? The Lechem HaPanim drives him crazy. The Lechem HaPanim is old. He doesn't believe it can stay fresh for 9 days. That gets him so upset. Why is that? It's getting him so upset. So Wolfson raises another question. The Torah tells us that there is a custom that you can know what day of the week each Yom Tov is based on the days of Pesach. So there's Atbash, Aleph can be exchanged with Tav, Beis can be exchanged with Shin, Gimel with Resh. So the first day of Pesach is the day of the week of Tisha B'Av. The second day of Pesach is the day of the week of Shavuos. The third day of Pesach is the same day of the week as Rosh Hashanah. The fourth day of Pesach is the same day of the week as Yom Kippur. So what about Vav? So Vav is Pei. So Vav is the same day of the week as last Purim. So the sixth day of Pesach is the same day of the week as Purim was. So why would we want to know when Purim was? We need to know when Purim will be. So what's going on? Now there's another aspect, which is Purim is always the same day as Lag BaOmer. So what's the connection between Purim and Lag BaOmer? So Wolfson says like this, we know that Haman, according to Chazal, had another name, it was called Memuchan. The Gemara says that Memuchan is a reference to the Lechem HaPanim. Klo mechinu Lechem HaPanim lefanav. Did the non-Jews prepare Lechem HaPanim the way the Jews did? So what's the idea that Haman has a connection to the Lechem HaPanim? But the idea is like this. Maybe Haman says it's true that the Jews come from great people. Avram was great, Yitzhak was great, Yaakov was great. But he says, Yeshno am Echav. Yeshno means that they're asleep. The Jews are asleep from what they were. The Jews don't do mitzvahs with any passion. They got used to it. They're tired. There's no excitement. Like Amalek. Amalek says, Asher karcha baderach, he cooled you down. Haman wants to cool us down. So his name is Memuchan. Why? Because the Lechem HaPanim show what? That the 12 loaves are hot for 9 days. Even though it's 9 days after they came out of the oven, they're just as hot as if they went into the oven. They're totally hot. They represent the 12 Jews, 12 Jewish tribes. And all of them are passionate. All of them are hot. All of them are on fire to serve Hashem. As hot as when they right came out of the oven. And this is totally above nature, above what's normal, that there should be such passion. So Hashem says the same way they are passionate, the way their ancestors were passionate, I love them the way I love their ancestors. That's what we find in last week's parsha, we learn about the three holidays. And the Gemara says in Chagiga, the Masechta, about Yom Tov, that when all the Jews would come into the Azara, they would open up the curtains and they would lift up the Shulchan, and they would say, you see, it's still hot? Re'uchi baskam lifnei amakam. See how the Jewish people are so beloved before God. They're still passionate. So this is what Purim was all about. Haman was claiming that the Jews are no longer beloved, that the Jews have calmed down from their passion to serve Hashem. And no. We are passionate like the Lechem HaPanim. Like the Lechem HaPanim is fresh, we are passionate to serve Hashem. And that's why we get drunk on Purim. Even though we're on the level now of a lowly person, we're seemingly not connected. Even then, we are connected. We are really connected. So we said that the days of Pesach correspond to the days of all the holidays. So Aleph Pesach corresponds to Tisha B'Av. Beis Pesach corresponds to Shavuos. Gimel Pesach corresponds to Rosh Hashanah. Dalet Pesach corresponds to Yom Kippur. But Vav Pesach, the sixth day of Pesach, is the same day of the week as the last Purim. The last Purim, it's too late. We already had Purim. The answer is Purim is not in time. The whole idea of Purim is that it's a holiday above time. In the world of time, with time, things get stale, they get old. The bread gets old, it's no longer hot. But when you're above time, it can stay fresh. And Purim is to be above time, and the Jewish people are above time and not connected to time. So that's why Pesach can't tell us when Purim will be. Pesach just reveals when Purim already was, because Purim is above the entire level of time. So maybe that's what's going on with this Ben Ish Mitzri. Ish Mitzri and Ish Yisraelis. There's this man who's the son of an Egyptian, and he's the son of a Jewish mother. So he figured, okay, I don't come from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I come from an Egyptian. So I can't be with the Bnei Yehuda, but I'm as good as the Bnei Dan. I could be with the Bnei Dan. My mother's from Dan, I could be with Dan. After all, Dan was the tribe that was thrown out of the clouds of glory because they were worshipping the idol of Midbar. And Amalek attacks the people of Dan. They're the lowly people. I could be with the lowly people. So he puts up his tent to be with the people of Dan. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. Even the lowly people who are thrown out of the clouds of glory, who are the descendants of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they have a tremendous passion. They are like the Lechem Apanim, which is fresh. All 12 matzos of the Lechem Apanim are still fresh. They are still fresh. They are still passionate. And he doesn't believe in that. This fellow, he doesn't believe that Jews could stay fresh after a long time and after a lot of failures. No, he doesn't believe in that. He's not connected to it. The Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin that someone who doesn't believe that there will be a revival of the dead will not be revived of the dead. Because as Reb Tzedek says, if he doesn't believe in it, he's not connected to it. So how can he have it? This person, he didn't believe that there could be still passion. All Jews will have passion, that all Jews are above nature. So he makes fun of the Lechem Apanim. He's right. Within nature, this is not normal. But the Jewish people are above nature. The Jewish people can stay passionate, all of them, even after many, many years. And this is Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is the same day of the week as Purim. Reb Shimon Yochai is revealing that there are secrets in the Torah. We know that every Jew is rooted in a letter in the Torah. So if there are secrets in the Torah, there are secrets to every Jew. So in every Jew, there's a real secret. And even an angel doesn't know that secret. So Lag BaOmer, for this reason, is the fixing of the sin of the students of Rabbi Akiva. The students of Rabbi Akiva, they don't treat each other with respect because they don't think that each other deserve respect. But if you'd realize that there's a secret, I have to give that person respect. I don't know the whole thing about him. There's a real secret with him. Why does Hashem love this Jew? I don't know. There's a secret aspect. Based on secrets, there's something good. And that's why Purim is connected to Lag BaOmer. Purim, Haman wanted to say that the Jews are not deserving. They're disconnected. He said, no, even the lowly Jews are still connected. Lag BaOmer also might think that a person is lowly and not connected. No, they really are connected. And that's the idea that anyone who has belief in Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, he's someone who gets strength from Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Because if he believes that there are secrets, he gets strength from those secrets. There's a secret to me too. And even if I don't seem to be such a good Jew, there's a secret aspect of me that makes me special. And even if it looks like I don't deserve so many blessings, Hashem has his secrets. The Gemara says that the word hod, glory, splendor, is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. This week of Sfiras HaOmer is called the week of hod. And today, Lag BaOmer is Hod Shebahod, the Hod of Hod. In other words, there's another meaning to Hod. Hod also means submission. Animoda, I admit to you. So we admit that there's something beyond us, there's secrets that are beyond us. And through that connection of knowing that there are secrets beyond us, we realize that Hashem loves us. We stay fresh, we stay passionate, we stay connected. And may we merit to have the amazing joy BaOmer and the chizuk of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Bezrat Hashem this year. We should have it soon. I heard another nice thought that Peterman said. He said, why in the song is it Bar Yochai, son of Yochai, Shachta, Shrata, you are anointed, your favorite? Why not Rabbi Shimon? Why say son of Yochai? It almost sounds disrespectful. So he said, if he would say Rabbi Shimon, you think he's a big tzaddik, Rabbi Shimon. How can I be that? But Bar Yochai, he had a father. His father was Yochai. He was a human being. He had failures too. I might have failures, but I can still reach great heights. He had failures. He reached great heights. I can do it too. Bar Yochai, Shachta Asher.